heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in with us this morning. On this program, we like to refer to this as kind of your spiritual cup of coffee this morning. And we are going to start with some reading from Scripture. I just read this week. I'm very excited about it. I'm going to read this. It comes from Luke's Gospel, Luke 24. For our Bible nerds that are listening today, this is called The Road to Emmaus. I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to take a break, and we have a special guest on the program with us. But this really kind of touched my heart this week, and so I want to share this Scripture with you. Luke 24, we're going to pick it up starting at verse number 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the Scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This concludes our Scripture reading. Thank you again so much for joining us. This is Everyday Faith Radio. I want to remind you that we have all of our previous shows are on a podcast. You can go to iTunes now and you can listen to the previous recordings. Last week we had UVA wrestling coach Steve Garland on the program. It was fully energized in that interview. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. There will be an upcoming blood drive at UVA Clark Hall on Wednesday, October 18th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Do your part and make a difference to help out those in need. Hoover Ridge Park in Madison will once again have their Haunted Woods of Hoover Ridge. The event will be on October 21st and October 28th from 5:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Hoover Ridge Park. You can walk the twisted trail of terror or watch a scary movie by the fire. Proceeds to benefit Hoover Ridge Park. The Charlottesville Free Clinic will be holding a quit smoking program now through November 2nd at the clinic on Rose Hill Drive in Charlottesville. The group meets every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. For information, call 969-7475. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program, we have a good friend, somebody I've known and my wife has known a long, long time, Connelly Gillum. Connelly, thanks for being on the show.
I'm glad to be with you today, Jeff.
How long have we known each other?
Well, let's see. If your wife met you in college,
Then
sometime after that, and then I've known your wife since high school.
Oh, my goodness. So
that's a long time, Jeff.
Like almost 40 years.
Well,
I've
got quite 40 years.
Yeah.
That's
a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Well, what we'd like to do on this program is start with the faith journey, and what we want to get at is, how did you come to be a believer?
Well, I came really to a deep personal faith as about a fourth grader on a church retreat, and I was in the small class for kids my age, and somebody explained to me how Jesus died for me to put me in relationship with the Father for eternity. And it made sense to me. I think my parents had been tilting me and steering me in that direction, but that's my first conscious memory of personal faith.
So fourth grade for you, it took 40 years for me, but better late than never, I suppose. Talk to us about kind of your kind of life story and how your faith is kind of intertwined in that. How has that worked?
Well, it's interesting, when you were doing the reading of the passage on the road to Emmaus, there are two phrases that jumped out to me. One was slow of heart, and the other is the heart burning inside. And in a sense, I think my journey has been really a dance between those two poles. In some places, I've been really quite slow of heart to believe and to see the Lord. And in other ways and at other stages along the way, there's been a burning and a desire for Him. I think when I was in high school, again, through a ministry of Young Life, I came to a deeper personal faith. And then when I was in college, I really had to wrestle. I had to wrestle with, is this really what I believe, or is this just some, you know, opiate of the masses that just makes me feel better, something? And that became a big wrestling place for me. It's continued to be, in a sense, a part wrestling match. You talked about the coach, and part wrestling match, and then part dance, I think, in a sense. And gratefully, God is stronger, and He's also a good lead. In terms of the things that have probably compelled and catapulted my faith forward most strongly, though, I would say really it's been two big areas. I was reflecting on this earlier today. I would say one has been being 52 years old and still being single. Like, never in a bazillion years did I dream that I would be a 52-year-old single woman. Just not the map, not the script, nothing. So having to wrestle with a lot of that has been a big piece of my journey. And then I think the other piece has been in my family having three sudden deaths, unanticipated sudden deaths. Two different nephews who died in just tragic fluke accidents, unrelated to one another. And then my father passing away unexpectedly from a heart attack. And those have really made me have to grapple with the finiteness of this life. What's the reality of eternity? Is there really a hope there? And then how is God showing up and leading between here and there?
Talk to me. It seems to be my favorite topic. I shouldn't be giggling about it, but you walked right into it. Talk to me about God coming down and showing up in the midst of your pain. Can you share anything from that? Is there anything that just kind of jumps out at you? I always talk about on this program how C.S. Lewis said that God whispers to us in our pleasure, but yells to us in our pain. What did you hear?
Well, it's funny. I think I may be one of those rare people who take comfort from the end of the book of Job, where God says, but did you create this? And are you in charge of the universe? And are you as big as the mountains? And can you control the Leviathan? And this is a loose paraphrase. And for me, I think what I began to discover is that God is actually bigger even than my unmet longings, bigger than the depth of my sadness, bigger than my anxiety and my uncertainty, bigger than my anger. That he's actually big enough to take all that and then meet me in it and lead me forward. I told somebody one time with particularly the loss of my second nephew, who was 19 and he fell off a building at University of Virginia. You know, no drugs or alcohol, just stupid boy tricks gone awry. And I said that whole experience after having lost this other nephew was like my face got shoved into the mud. That's really what it felt like. It just my face, but my family's face. And then somehow God pulled me up and out the other side. And it was like as I washed the mud away from my face, I saw something of his face and his love more clearly than ever before.
Beauty out of ashes.
That's right. Beauty out of ashes. Even though I'd never choose the ashes and I wouldn't choose it again if I had the choice. But God is real and he does show up.
What would you say to any of our listeners who maybe they don't have a strong faith yet and they feel like things are happening to them and their knee-jerk reaction is they feel like they're being punished? I get that question a lot.
I think that's a real common human normal default,
right?
Is to assume. I mean, I think for me, the struggle with singleness, like, well, what did I do wrong in a dating relationship along the way? What choices had I made that had landed me here? What was there something wrong with me that was putting me into this position? And I think I'd say two things. I'd say don't run away from that question. Like, wrestle honestly with God before it, before him with that question. But then the other thing that I think I've personally learned in it is that there is a reality of God's love that is far deeper than what I would call cause and effect. Like, I did this and then this thing happened, or I didn't do this and then this thing happened. That God somehow mysteriously, his love is actually even deeper than that whole cause and effect thing. And that in Christ, the love is a real deal. So I wrestle with, oh, well, God, did I do this? Or am I doing this wrong? Or is this wrong? And those are worth attending to. But the bigger thing is to cry out and say, but God, I need to know your love down in my knower.
You know, it's interesting because I'm a believer. You've several times so far said wrestle. You've wrestled with and I believe that God honors that when we wrestle, because I think he knows some of these things are hard to kind of get your arms around. But when you wrestle, that means when you wrestle with God, kind of like a la Jacob in the Old Testament, that means you have to encounter God. And if you are encountering him, and James says, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you, something, you and I aren't sure exactly what, but something great's going to come out of that wrestle. Because the other thing I was kind of harking back to, King David in the Psalms says, in your presence is fullness of joy. And so one way to get in that presence, I mean, you can't get around his presence if you're going to wrestle with him.
Yeah,
You know?
I am totally I'm totally with you on that. As a matter of fact, you only wrestle with God if you really believe he's there.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So.
And God shows up.
And he does.
A couple other things, and then we're going to take a break, Connelly. But in that passage, the Emmaus passage, why that's so fresh for me and how God kind of uses me as a Connelly, people on this show know my story, is that I went 40 years with no knowledge of the Bible. I mean, I went to church and I felt God's presence, and it was your good friend and my wife, Mo Gaffney, who said, you know, you need to read the Bible. And so it took me a while. But when I read that passage and I get that part that Jesus came and walked alongside them to know the God of the universe will come, has come down and will walk alongside of us today. That is real for us today. And when I read that passage, I just kind of get all excited about it, because and then he goes and has a meal with them and walks them through the scripture. Well, again, not to dominate the talking here, but I needed somebody to walk me through the scripture and have it make sense. And then at the end, you kind of read that part that it said, and then their eyes were opened. And then just kind of what a glorious day when that happens. But it's not just happenstance. You know, the God of the universe comes and he's available to walk beside us. But there's a little effort on our part, too. You know, there's a little digging in to the scripture, but then you combine that together. And we're going to take a break. I'm heading right into the break, but I'm also reminded of that verse in Revelation. You probably know it. I stand at the door and knock. You know, I mean, the God of the universe stands at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice, I will eat with, and opens the door, I will eat with them and he with me. I mean, that is when you wrestle with that. I mean, it'll blow your mind. It's an amazing experience. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more with Connelly Gillum in just a moment.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Charlottesville Swing Dance Society's Halloween Dance will be on October 21st at the Ivy Creek United Methodist Church Fellowship Hall on Woodlands Road in Charlottesville. The dance will be from 8 to 11 p.m. The Thomas Jefferson Health Department is offering flu shots at their location on Rose Hill Drive in Charlottesville. Flu shot days are Mondays from 1 to 4 p.m. and Thursdays from 8:30 a.m. to noon and 1 to 4:30 p.m. More info, call 972-6200. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and the Shelter for Help in Emergency is hosting a series of events to bring awareness and honor to those whose lives have been affected by domestic violence. More info at shelterforhelpinemergency.org. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. I'm so excited to have our guest on the program. I've hunted her down to get her here. Connelly Gillum, thanks for being on the show. Connelly, tell us what you're doing now in your life.
Well, Jeff, right now in my life, I'm doing a lot of speaking, working on a second book, doing a lot of mentoring, doing a lot of training under the auspices of an organization called the Navigators, a faith-based organization. Get to connect with lots of different people around things of faith. And it takes up a lot of time, a lot of local, but also a lot traveling nationally and some internationally.
How did you get involved in the Navigators? Tell us about that.
It was about 17 years ago, and ended up connecting with some folks who were connected to this ministry. And I realized that in spite of the fact that I had resisted this, because I didn't want to make my life all about Christian ministry. In spite of that, I was drawn in this direction. And I realized I had an opportunity under the umbrella of this organization to be able to impact the interior life and then the exterior life and the eternal life of people through my work with the Navigators.
Well, can you tell us about the Navigators? What is it?
It is a faith-based organization that exists to see the advance of the good news of Jesus and his kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's international and been going since the 1940s.
Okay. And I'm not sure I've told you this. Our listeners have heard it. I'm a secret member because I had a good friend, Chris Poe, who gave me the topical memory system, which it's interesting how that worked. I have to just go down this road for a second. My friend Chris Poe was helping disciple me in my faith, helping me grow in my faith, and he recognized that I was kind of frustrated about my lack of Bible knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so he said, hey, let's do this topical memory system together. And I've talked about it on the program. Basically, it's 60 verses that you memorize. Mm-hmm. And that sounds daunting, but the whole program is 1 a week, as you know. And so I went in. Here's the interesting thing. I went into the topical memory system. It was really kind of a pride thing that brought me in because I wanted to be able to kind of go toe-to-toe with some of my biblical scholar friends. I wanted to be able to tout out a few Bible verses in discussion. And what ended up happening by memorizing, by the time I got to verse number 6 at the end of the first sheet, my mind was being renewed and the change started from the inside out. Total transformation.
I mean, and that's what we were talking about earlier, in essence, was Jesus with these guys on the road to Emmaus and how he began to take those guys through the scriptures and the change that came as a result. And I think sometimes it can sound like old-fashioned, pietistic, fuddy-duddy. Mm. You know, no one wants to be a Bible banger, you know. But the reality is there is a power in God's word. You asked me earlier, what were some of the things I experienced when I had, in essence, a lot of loss and pain I was wrestling with in my life? Well, one of the other things that I experienced came because a mentor through the Navigators redirected me to a couple of different biblical passages in particular. One was Luke 7. It's this sort of obscure story about the widow of Nain. Mm. And the widow of Nain is a widow who's coming out of the small village of Nain with her only son who is dead, and she's a widow. So she's lost her son and her economic provision and social status. And she's going with this group of mourners out of the town. And then meanwhile, Jesus, early in his ministry, is coming with this very energized group of people towards the town. And as these two parties, the funeral party and the ministry party, pass, it says Jesus saw her and his heart went out to her and he said, don't cry. And then he healed her son. And it was spending time in that passage and other ones like them where I began to realize, wow, okay, my heart might be slow, my heart might burn, but that is actually secondary to the reality that the heart of the living God goes out to me. Mm. The actual Greek word, Jeff, that's for your
yes,
Bible knowledge.
Come on,
let me bring it. It's splagnesiomai.
Oh.
And what that means is turned over in the bowels. It means the God of the universe saw this woman's affliction and he had a gut reaction.
Oh.
He had a gut reaction to her. Same thing with the prodigal son. When the prodigal son is returning after all his rebellion back to the father, it says from a long ways off, the father saw him and he had a gut reaction of compassion and then ran to him. Mm. And it was during that time of so much pain and grappling and loss that I began to discover that the living God of the universe actually has a gut reaction to the affliction of people.
Mm, and so the God of the universe, he feels your pain.
Yeah, and that could sound cliche, but it actually began with him.
Yeah.
It's actually true.
Yeah.
That's actually, I mean, that's crazy that we can actually elicit a physiological response of compassion from the God of the universe.
Mm.
I mean, that's the scriptures. That's what the scriptures show us.
You know, one of my favorite stories, our listeners have heard me talk about Mark chapter 5. There's so much going on in Mark chapter 5, but in the middle you have the situation with the bleeding woman. And she fights through the crowd, crawls through, and reaches up and just touches the tassel on Jesus' robe, and she's healed. And somehow this works into our conversation, but, you know, I'm always just, I'm just so fascinated by that story that Jesus feels the person who, with everything they've got and putting it all on the line, reaches out just to touch the tassel on the robe, and then he stops.
And what does he say? Right? He says he felt the power go out of him. So again, it's almost like he literally is having a physical, physiological response to this woman's reaching out to touch him. He is that present and that tuned in and that empathetic. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Well, and the other part of the story that kind of grips me is that you and I know, once you've read through the Bible a few times, is that in the Jewish culture, anybody who had kind of any type of blood sickness was a total outcast. I mean, that you had all these laws that said, you know, if you have leprosy or this kind of blood thing going on, you have to stay way, way, way far away from everybody else. And Jesus stops and touches and heals this woman. I'm just moved by the compassion that he demonstrates again and again, and he does it with the lepers too, you know, the the lepers who are the outcasts. He stops and touches them. He's like the only one that would touch them.
And after his cousin is executed, John the Baptist, his head is cut off. Jesus' cousin's executed. He gets on a boat. He's got to be alone. He's got to have downtime, alone time, come present to his own heart and father time. But he gets off the boat, and there are a whole bunch of needy people who followed him who want healing. And does he say, sorry, guys, I got to have my own downtime? No, it says he saw them, and he was filled with compassion, and he heals them. I mean, it's amazing. It's an understatement to say Jesus is amazing, but it's actually true.
Now, we're ending the program. We're winding down here. What would you say to somebody who wants that faith that you have? They want to press in, but they can't. They're just kind of paralyzed and can't. Don't know where to go, don't know what to do. What advice would you have?
I would say stop in this moment, look up, and ask the God of the universe, who is looking at you, to move towards you. And then obey and do the next thing he reveals.
That's a good word. So true.
And how about you? What would you say?
Well, for me, my whole journey has been about reading God's word. And so I would say anywhere is good. I love the Gospel of John. I'd say pick up John chapter 1, read it, and read it again, and read it again, and ask God to reveal himself. And just like you were saying, he will. Conley Gillam, thank you so much for being on the show. You've been a blessing to me, and I'm sure to our listeners. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. Thanks again for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff.
I'm going to have you back on this show soon. You're the best. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. Conley Gillam, our special guest today. We'll see you next week.
Heal a broken heart. Lend your presence over. Come restore and make us new. God, we need